call her Myra. Nothing but the finest herbs, my dead mother's stuffing, and fresh garlic from a real garden. Okay, okay. Now note the juice which flows from the initial incision.
Space herpes are pretty darn disgusting. Luckily for me, unlike earth herpes, they are curable. All you have to do is, you stop being a nerd and thinking that space herpes are a real thing. Because, as anyone will tell you, space herpes are only in your mind. Welcome, I'm Jake. Welcome back to Under the Blanket. I'm here today flying solo. Gonna give it a solo flight. Maybe try it for about a 30-minute trip. My co-host, Phil, is unfortunately unable to be here today because, unlike me, he has a job. So he doesn't have time to sit around on his computer and talk about stuff that most people don't want to talk about. Or not that they don't want to. They just don't really see the need to discuss things that I'm going to be talking about today. So hopefully you're one of those people that finds these things vital to your daily happiness. That's what Under the Blanket's aiming to do. I could tell in the background I have a smooth little JT instrumental. And I've learned, there's a little tip to you folks at home. If you kind of feel uninteresting or the conversation is not going your way, just put a little instrumental track behind yourself and guaranteed to work wonders. You'll be a charmer in more ways than one. Today is going to be our all things that are kind of gross edition. Actually, there's nothing really gross in here. It's just things that kind of bug me that are gross to me. So basically, I'm hopefully not going to rant. I don't really find myself to be much of a ranter. And as I read over the things I wanted to talk about today, I find, you know, as I'm unemployed and living in a condo, I have a lot of free time on my hands, so I've noticed that I'm starting to care about things that normal people don't care about. Like the old lady that constantly emails regarding condo business, about 15 emails a day. And I'm finding myself replying to these emails as the arguing source. And that just makes me almost, if not more, just as crazy. So hopefully this is my way of being an old lady emailing about whose month it is to take out the yard waste, which fortunately is mine. And she told me that since Yard Waste Day falls on the 31st of March, it's technically my day is April, and I beg to differ, ma'am. I am not taking yard waste out tomorrow in protest because my month is April. Just because March has one extra day of Yard Waste Day means nothing to me. Anyways, let's get this party started. That can only mean one thing. It's time for me to talk about whatever I came to talk to you about. I guess that could mean more than one thing, but for us in this show, means it's time to talk about the top events of the day. Well, I was trying to think of something to talk about today on this Wednesday, and there's one thing that has been ruining my mood most nights, most days, most mornings. And that's the fact that in my mid-30s now, well, mid to upper late 30s, 36 to be exact, I have discovered that my body has been distributing the fat in weird areas. I'm I'm a big guy, about 6'5", 280. So I don't look crazy because my height is so big, it kind of evens out. If I was 5'10", 280, I probably wouldn't be able to function very well in daily life. But my fat goes to my the back, the lower back. So if I had a tramp stamp in the early 90s, I would be it would have been a waste of money, because right now it would be stretched out. And the lower back has now become bigger and wider than my butt section. And I should probably start by telling you, I, to begin with, have a white boy butt, which means a long back. It just goes straight down, and then there's legs. There's no bump. It's actually, my back splits into legs is how my body looks. And this is becoming a real hassle with as far as wearing pants goes, because as you know, pants need something to kind of hang on to so they don't go kaput off you. So basically, I am now super conscious of having a plumber's crack wherever I go. I have a belt cinched 8 times what it should be cinched, trying to hold those babies on for dear life. But most times it's not really working too well. So what I need is I need a hipster to start wearing suspenders so I can kind of see what the suspender etiquette is. I want to know if you can wear suspenders underneath a dress shirt. Obviously, you would have to keep it untucked, which I do normally because it wouldn't work. Do you wear suspenders that match your outfit, or do you try to go off the other end? And as we all know, hipsters start things. I'm not really a starter. I start to do things after it's been done. I'm not going to, you know, it's not the best thing in the world. But hey, podcasts have been done. People talking about their body have been done. You know, wearing socks has obviously been done. And I just picked that up about 36 years ago. So I'm not someone that's going to just out and start. So please, I need someone to bring back the suspenders. And if anyone has any suggestions as to what to do about lower back fat, I would love to hear them. I'm starting a new workout regimen in about 10 minutes. It's not the P90X or anything like that. I'm going to just do a little twist to the left when I take a step with my left. No, when I take a step with my right, and then twist to the right when I take a step with my left. And that is what I'm calling the lower back abs of steel. So I'll let you know how that goes. Hopefully no one thinks I look too crazy, and it could be, you know, a great workout thing. I'm gonna try that. We'll see. I'll check back in next week and let you know if I've lost any inches on the back fat section of my back. So if anyone is still listening, which I highly doubt, because after talking about back fat, things kind of go south. I have recently found that I have come to hate people without even knowing them. And I don't like that about myself. You know, it's not good to judge a cover, a book. It's not good to, I just George Bush that. It's not good to judge that book by its cover. And I'm, of course, talking about people that wear these toe shoes. And I think you know what I'm talking about. They're shoes that look like Kung Fu Aqua socks. So that sort of makes it cool, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't work. And I think what's more annoying about these shoes is that everyone that wears them feels the need to go on and tell random strangers about how their shoes are wrong. They've been walking wrong their entire life. This is the most amazing thing you'll ever see. And, you know, Susie standing behind me in line at Starbucks ordering a half cap, Kappa Chap. Unless your name is Dr. Scholl. And you know what? On that point, I don't even know if Dr. Scholl would agree with you. I don't know. But unless your name's Dr. Scholl, don't even talk to me.
Dr. Scholl makes foot products. And he's a doctor, so he went to school for a long time. But it doesn't take a lot to figure out that stepping on a cushion will be more comfortable. That guy wasted lots of time at school, because I'd have bought that shit from a Mr. Scholl.
So basically, if you are Dr. Scholl, then you would not be endorsing these shoes, because these shoes are non-Dr. Scholl endorsed, because Dr. Scholl says stepping on a pillow makes it more comfortable, and it does. Okay? I don't know if you remember in the late 80s, early 90s, there was these calf shoes that had the thing in front that forced you to step on your toes. You know, they were impressive for dunking, but they messed up your back. They were horrible. They had long-term effects that your body has used to the way, unless you're going to be putting these on babies and teaching them that's the way to walk, then then don't come. You know, you're a 60-year-old woman. You're going to mess up your body a lot more than you're going to help it. And maybe I'm just being, you know, maybe I'm one of those guys that, and I know people are going to say, oh, you have to try it, man. This is going to change your world. Well, I'm sorry. I like my world. I like Vans. I like the way they look. I like not looking like an idiot. I don't like little kids pointing and staring at my feet and laughing, sometimes bursting into tears. But, you know, that's how I am. And I'm sorry, but people that wear those shoes want to be noticed, and they love to talk about themselves and how they are so up and coming on the footwear industry, and they know it all. But I say no more foot shoes. And one of the reasons I'm doing this show without Phil is because that dude loves those. And kind of hurts me a little. Kind of hurts me in the heart. But hopefully I'll be able to break him of how dumb they are. I think he's realized that they're pretty dumb looking. You know, it doesn't matter how comfortable something is. You look dumb. And we as Americans are vain, and we have to look amazing. So that is the worst rant. I'm not quite sure why I'd rant about toe shoes if I want people to actually listen to this podcast. Finally, I have to tell you a little story about my beloved Seattle Mariners. I'm definitely a diehard Seattle sports fan. Seahawks, Mariners, and the late Supersonics are really the only three that I acknowledge as being Seattle sports teams. Call me a sexist, but I'm not a fan of the WNBA. I went to the finals last year and left in the second quarter. Couldn't stand the fans or the game. It was just, it wasn't what I was used to as far as basketball goes. Sounders, same thing. The way I look at Sounders fans is they are all up in arms about how they're the biggest, Seattle's the biggest soccer capital of the U.S. Well, you know what? The Sounders were here in a not as big league playing for the last 20 years at Memorial Stadium, and nobody went to the games. And the talent on the field was at the same level as the MLS, if not better. And now the game level and the speed are just horrible. You go to these games and it's not real soccer. It's like JV soccer. I think some college teams could beat these teams. And I'm sorry, but yeah, I don't acknowledge those guys. As you know, the worst thing in the world to me would be a guy wearing a Sounders shirt, toe shoes, and for good measure throwing a utility kilt, maybe a fanny pack. That is a guy I would instantly hate. And you know what? Go ahead and sue me. But my Mariners I love. I know every year they come in last, and we're kind of like the New Age Cubs or the New Age Red Sox. Well, the Cubs are kind of the New Age Cubs because they still haven't won a World Series in forever. But we're laughable. The opening day is tomorrow, and I think we're already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But puts us in good running for the draft, because we all know great baseball players come out of the draft. Anyways, the Seattle Mariners have, their front office has continued to show that they don't have a clue. I understand the point of this next story, but I think they're going to miss the target pretty big. The Mariners have decided to give away bags of Cedar Grove compost at Mariners games, made up of waste from former Mariners games. Now, I am a big advocate of composting and keeping the earth green, and I think Cedar Grove is amazing. But why not give those away at Cedar Grove or garden stores? If you're going to be giving away these bags at games, here's what's going to happen. All that dirt's going to end up outside. Drunk guys are going to be thrown on people from the upper deck. There's going to be dirt ball wars. It's going to be a horrific cleanup. It's not going to get to many gardens. Sure, there'll be a few few families that go, but for the most part, it's going to be trash. It's going to be dumped in the street. And it's not going to go to the point they want it to be. And I think if the Mariners would spend a little more time, you know, not making these funny commercials or coming up with new things to give away and paying the money to get good talent, we have a great, great fan base here in Seattle. And I think it's really a shame that it's not being given a good baseball team. We've, you know, since 1995, there hasn't been much to cheer for. 2001, okay, that was a fluke. But hey, look. It wasn't a great team because they didn't make it past the first round of the playoffs. I want to be able to cheer for a team that wins. I don't need compost. And you know what? I'll be one of the guys that's thrown it on the field. I am happy to say that. So thank you, I guess, for giving me something to do. I'm going to play a song, and maybe I'll come back and talk a little more before we go. I know this has been a really short podcast, but I don't have my man Phil here with me, so the good times just aren't rolling. All right, we'll just have to keep the good times rolling. We might be back. I'm going to play a song for you real quick. A new song from Steel Tigers Death, the best name in rock and roll. It's called Not So Super Superman. They have an album out now on iTunes, and they'll be playing at the Funhouse on April 22nd. If you haven't seen them, they're an amazing band. They're mid-30s guys, punk rock, all wear bunny suits, and it's guaranteed, it will, as my friend Corey says, melt your fucking face off. Superman. I think it's time for my friend Doc Brown to take us 5 years into the future. That's right, 1.21 gigawatts. We're going forward 5 years to 2016. On today's edition, we will unveil the lineup for the 2016 Dancing with the Stars. This is probably going to be one of the dumbest things I've ever done on the podcast. Have no idea why I'm doing it. Never seen Dancing with the Stars, but I was able to transpond myself 5 years in the future, as you could tell, but obviously by the 1.21 gigawatts. And I figured with Ralph Macchio being on this year's Dancing with the Stars, it couldn't get any lower until I came to 2016. Holy S. The first one is, you would think that she would be a runaway success because she's a singer and a dancer, and her name is Britney Spears. Unfortunately, the last 5 years have not been kind to her, and she came down with a really bad case of diabetes and had to get a leg taken off, amputated is what they call it, not taken off. And so now she's actually the first amputee performer on Dancing with the Stars. Actually, take that back, the second, because Paul McCartney's wife. But she had both legs taken off. I forgot to mention that part. And so she'll be the first double amputee on Dancing with the Stars. It's pretty sweet to imagine. Coming to next is a child actor who, you know, just never really panned out. And the good thing about him, I don't really think he had a heroin stage. But now he's in his making a comeback stage. He made a movie with Donnie Wahlberg, and it turned out all right. And I'm talking, of course, Macaulay Culkin. He's my underdog favorite. Third place, coming in third. Not third place. There's only five contestants this year. They must have trimmed down the fat. Not many celebrities left. Is Richard Klein. And I'm not talking about the actor from What About Dave and Fish Called Wanda. I'm talking Richard Klein, Larry, from Three's Company. I mean, the guy was made to be on Dancing with the Stars. Fourth place. The once respectable Stone Phillips. His fall from grace was not good. But now that he's back and he can put those interns behind him, those male underage interns behind him, I think he might have a shot. Last but not least, just because, Antoine Dotson, probably the biggest name on this list. He's gone on to make 3 Bed Intruder songs, 5 remixes, 2 movies, a video, and he's telling everyone to hide their dance shoes because he is going to rape everyone up in there. And with that, we've come to the end of this very short, possibly very unfunny edition of Under the Blanket. I'm Jake, and I would love for it if you came back next time. We'll be here with Phil, and we'll be talking movies, music, and whatever else we like. I think we'll also be reviewing the best dive bars on Capitol Hill. Did yours make the cut? Ciao.